This is one of those Gospels that if you listen to it, is very troubling. In the way Jesus interacts with the woman from the Canaanite woman. And I want you to hang in there with me a little bit so that we can understand what Jesus is doing there. He's really kind of taking up a voice that was common at the time and asking this woman what she thinks of it. But I'd like to talk to you on this topic today. The title of this homily is, now hang in there with me, it's from an old jazz song, and it's simply this: One Monkey Don't Stop No Show. One Monkey Don't Stop No Show. You see, there's a woman here who is in a very racist situation. Now, I'll explain that in a minute. And there's a lot of negativity. And yet she overcomes all of that to approach Jesus. And Jesus is deeply moved by the tenacity of her faith and gives her what she wants. Now let's talk a little bit about the background here for a minute. Jesus does something quite unusual. For any Jew, let alone a Jewish preacher, he goes out of Jewish territory into so-called pagan territory. He goes north of Israel into modern-day Lebanon, in the region of Tyre and Sidon, two pagan cities. Now, if you think that racism is something unique to America, I got news for you. It goes all the way back, probably to the Tower of Babel. And at the time of Jesus, the racism was between Gentile and Jew. The Jews hated the Gentiles, and the Gentiles hated the Jews. They each despised each other. They would not live together. They would not go into each other's homes. They would not share the same facilities, drinking utensils or eating utensils. All of these things you see were repulsive. Jews and Gentiles had nothing to do with one another. They spoke different languages. They ate different foods. They hated each other. Now, if there was a little money to be made, they might do some business together, but that was about it. Now, I don't know if that sounds familiar to you. Certainly, going back into the 1950s and before in this country with all the segregation, all the racism that extends even down to our modern day. But I want you to know that what Jesus does is quite remarkable. Jews would avoid pagan territory. They'd go way out of their way to avoid going into pagan territory if they could. The Samaritans were another group that hated the Jews, and the Jews hated the Samaritans. Sometimes Jews would go many, many miles out of their way to avoid going through Samaria. And so, brothers and sisters, I'm just trying to set the tone for you in this gospel. There's a lot of tension here. Jesus and his Jewish apostles go north into a region where they are hated, but also where they, not Jesus now, but the apostles, hate the people who were around them. It's very remarkable what Jesus does. Jesus did not go out of his way to avoid Samaritan territory. He did not go out of his way to avoid pagans, non-Jews, Gentiles. In fact, he often spoke highly of their faith. He often used Samaritans as the hero in his story. You see, Jesus did not accept the racist notions of his day. He rejected them, and he would one day, just before ascending, tell his apostles something unthinkable to a Jew. Go, therefore, unto all the nations. Teach them and baptize them. Do you see this, brothers and sisters? Now, it's important for us to understand who Jesus is in this story, because he's about to say some things that may shock us. But I want you to, first of all, know the background. Now, I want you to next notice this Canaanite woman, and I want you to look at her journey in faith. Her journey in faith starts out with torment. Torment. Her daughter is afflicted by a demon. We don't know the details. Maybe it was a disease. Maybe it was some deep, sorrowful mental illness. Whatever it was, her daughter is afflicted. And in her torment, this Canaanite woman, who wants to have nothing to do with Jews, goes to Jesus. And it says here, she did him homage. She called out to him, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David." You see, whatever racism was in this woman, she sets it aside when she's in torment. And sometimes the Lord has to bring us low to root out of us some of our own demons. Amen? Sometimes the Lord has to bring us to the edge to help us to cross boundaries and barriers that are inappropriate in our world or in our life. And so the common humanity that she shares with these Jewish itinerants, these apostles, and with Jesus is stronger than the things that separate them. My daughter is in torment. Please have pity. Heal her. So first of all, notice her torment. Next comes the test. The test. It says in the text here, even though she's crying out in torment, Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. But haven't you and I sometimes experienced? We pray, we beg God, and we don't hear anything? You can't hurry God. You just have to wait. Trust and never doubt. He may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. But still, it's a struggle, isn't it? He says not a word. He's still calling this woman out a little bit, working with her. And we'll see in a minute, also with his apostles. Now, she is not overcome by this silence. Hallelujah, church. She passes the first test. You see, sometimes we ask God and nothing seems to happen, and we just give up. We just give up. Now I'm going to tell a story on myself in a few minutes about that. We give up 5 minutes before the miracle happens. We give up. But Jesus, you see, is working with this woman, trying to strengthen her faith, which is the only thing that will save her. So he doesn't answer her immediately. My daughter is in torment. Please help. Pity. Not a word. But the text says she kept running after Jesus. Hallelujah. And then the apostles turn and they say, tell her to go away. Send her away. She keeps calling after us. Now, I talk with you about the racism because I want you to see that this request of the apostles is dripping with racism. It's dripping with negativity. Send her away, Canaanite woman. She has no business talking to us. For Jews, send her away. Now, what I told you at the beginning, one monkey don't stop no show. She's not going to let these negative apostles get in her way. She just keeps calling. They might have said things like, how dare you, a Canaanite woman, speak to us who are Jews? Go away, Canaanite woman. But one monkey don't stop no show. And she hangs in there. And she keeps persevering. And she moves past these boundaries. These racially defined boundaries. And she says, he can help. That's all I need. I just need to get to Jesus. But then comes the most shocking thing of all. The Lord vocalizes the racism himself. He takes up the voice of racism. Jesus finally speaks to her and says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Sounds pretty racist, but remember, that's why I worked with you at the beginning. Jesus has intentionally gone into pagan territory. Because he wants to address this issue. And I want you to hear him speak almost as though he were saying this. If you allow me to read into the text for a moment. Woman, these apostles of mine are upset that you, a pagan, are speaking to me. What would you think if I said to you, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then he turns it even deeper, the knife. It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. Jesus vocalizes the racism of his day. Jews spoke of Canaanites as dogs. But remember, we did our homework. We studied a little bit about Jesus and how he reached out to Gentiles. How he was not the typical Jew of his day. Or like the Gentiles who hated the Jews in return. Jesus got beyond these barriers. He's here in the first place because he's reaching out to the Gentiles. And so I want you to hear it this way. Jesus is saying, woman, what do you think of the fact that my apostles and all my Jewish brethren would say to me, you were sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Don't take the food of children and throw it to the dogs. How say you, woman? Are you willing to hang in there with me? And she said to Jesus, in effect, One monkey don't stop no show. She said, sir, even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters. So you see, she's been tested. She was in torment. The Lord tests her. He sees that she has tenacity. She hangs in there. She will not let these negative voices turn her away from the Lord. She will not in any way allow them to send her away. She simply says, Lord, help me! Even the dogs have leavings from their master's table. I'm not going to get into a racist argument with you about whether I'm a dog or you're a dog. I'm just saying, help me. Help me. Brothers and sisters, she hangs in there. She doesn't go away. And then, not only has she been tested in the midst of her torment and shown tenacity, but then, because of this, she experiences triumph. Triumph! Jesus said, woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. For such a reply, let it be done for you as you wish. And the woman's daughter was healed at that very hour. Someone say, praise the Lord. You see, she wouldn't let the negativity of that moment, the negativity of that day, keep her from going to Jesus. Even when she experienced it in the church. Now, brothers and sisters, we're in a parish that was founded on the tenacity of the forebearers of this parish, who even when they came into the Lord's church, were told by priests and ministers, you sit in the back. If you have to be here at all, don't offend me with your presence. Sit up in the choir loft. Sit in the back. Sit on the edges and receive communion last. And this was not only true in the Catholic churches, but going all the way back into slave times. Very often, African Americans who came to Jesus Christ experienced hatred and racism in the very church where they should have found Jesus. But somewhere in the depths of their heart, they could say that one monkey don't stop no show. And they clung to their faith in Jesus Christ. And they did not walk away from it. And they stayed. And in the case of this parish, they founded in 1893 a parish, St. Cyprian's. And they built a mighty edifice of stone on the solid rock of Christ. And even when pain and difficulty in the closing of that building afflicted the parish, still, they stayed firm in the faith. And because of it, because of their tenacity, because of their stick-to-itiveness, they wouldn't let the negativity separate them. They could say that there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. Nothing between. We have a church today, and we have a faith to celebrate. And it's not always easy, is it? And it's so easy for us to be tempted just to throw in the towel, to give up, when the Lord seems to be silent, when we want Him to speak. When even from the voice of ministers and priests, we can hear hateful things. And the Lord, instead of saying, well, this is terrible and you shouldn't have heard this, He even seems to, well, what do you think of this? He lets it happen. Maybe He's testing us, church. seeing how strong our faith is. He wants to give us an even greater blessing. But He's asking us to grow in our faith. To be able to say with this woman that I'm not going to let the negativity get between me and Jesus. No, indeed. I'm going to cross the boundaries that people say I should keep. I'm going to still call on the name of the Lord. How bold are you and I when we pray? I want to tell you a story about myself. I'll conclude then. You see, because sometimes the voices of negativity make our prayers puny. We just give up too quick. One day, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was down in Chinatown at Old St. Mary's to celebrate a Latin Mass. And I was a dummy, I think, and I left my keys, or my keys fell out of the ground, out of my pocket onto the ground. Anyway, I come out after Mass, and all of a sudden, no car. My car has been stolen. So, I'm like, oh my gosh, now what am I going to do? My car has been stolen, and I got a couple folks from the parish there to help me, and we called the police. Anyway, the gears start turning in my mind. Oh well, I must have been too attached to that car. Gee, you know, I have to suffer this loss. I guess it's just going to, I'll probably never see the car again, and I just have to get over it. I was too attached to the car. Because I love my new car. And the Lord just, with a searing bolt, as I was standing there in the corner waiting for the police officer to arrive, said something very profound to me. Why don't you ask for it back? It never occurred to me to ask for it back. I just figured I had to hang my head and accept this loss. And the Lord said, you leave it to me to decide that. But ask for it. The book of James says, you have not because you ask not. But you see, I was kind of like this woman. I was unlike this woman. Because as soon as something negative happened, I was ready to run away and just say, well, that's just the way it's got to be. Instead of boldly going to God and praying. So I said, all right, Lord, you told me to ask for it back. And I said, I'm going to bring my old friend St. Anthony in here too. Remember the old prayer? Dear St. Anthony, look around. Something's lost and can't be found. So I said, Lord, I'm asking. I am officially asking that I can get my car back. So a friend from St. Mary's said, I'll drive you home. Awful sorry this happened to you. And I told him the story on the way. I said, you know, the Lord told me to ask for it back. And I put this in the hands of St. Anthony. Well, it's about a 5 mile drive. I was at St. Thomas More at the time. We came around the corner onto 4th Street, one block from my parish. And my car is parked right there, one block from my parish. 5 miles away from where it's stolen. One block from where I live. I said, stop the car. That is my car. The guy who was driving me said, wow, he said, Tony's a stud. Anyway, it was remarkable. And I wanted to fall on my knees and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinful man. I don't know if I believe that this would happen. So I had the guy drive me one block to my parish, and I grabbed this extra set of keys and drove my car home. And church, I want you to know something. It had a full tank of gas. It was not stolen with a full tank of gas. I would have loved to have been a squirrel on the power line when that guy came out and stole my car and said, where's the car? But you see, what I'm trying to say is that too often we internalize the negativity. And if God doesn't answer immediately, we just give up We don't think that we deserve the blessing. We take the place of God. Instead of simply boldly going to God in prayer, even when He seems to be silent, even when we experience negativity, even in the church, too easy it is for us to just give up. And so God told me in that incident to be more bold when I pray, and to let Him decide, not to decide for Him. All right, I guess you don't want to give me this. Don't put words in my mouth, said the Lord. So brothers and sisters, pray. Pray boldly. Don't let the voices of negativity get to you. Don't let the racism, don't let whatever it might be limit you in realizing. See, this woman had to experience that, but there's all kinds of negativity in our life. We might not think we deserve blessings. Well, guess what? None of us do deserve them. That's why it's called grace. We need to go to God, and we need to pray. And when the voices of negativity come and tell you it won't work, you don't deserve it, you can't have it, you should just say, one monkey don't stop no show. I am going to pray, and I am going to bring this to God. And if God says no, I'll accept it. But I am going to pray. Amen.